All right, folks, we're trying to reestablish contact right now with Pastor Greg and Pastor Steve. So far, the broadcasting program seems to be working, and we're attempting to make contact with these two brothers in Yeshua.
I am here.
Pastor Steve, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, hold on. I think I have to restart the audio engine. Okay, I hear somebody.
That got out of hand real quick.
Yeah.
Praise Yahweh, brother.
Okay.
I'm here. Hello.
All right. Okay,
all right,
so
we're good to go. Man, this is back-to-back fun, man.
Right,
I love
right.
it.
Brother, I tried to call in for about a half an hour, and Skype kept saying I need to send him money, and I'm like, there's got to be
money?
A way around this.
Really? Money?
I finally I don't even know how I did it, but I just kept trying again, and finally let me call in.
Well, actually, I pulled you
up
in,
with
actually.
Some shekels.
Yeah, they were telling me that you were trying to call, so I just pulled you in, okay?
Maybe so, that was it.
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay.
I just made this real small, and I've got to go and pull up our second Esdras.
And we're in chapter 3, and I'm telling you, we're going to have a killer show tonight. We're already into the meat of the book, where we will break down Judeo-Christianity is falsehood. What we have is the truth. It's all about race. All the other races are meaningless. Oh, yeah, it'll be a big time tonight. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
Okay, so shall we go right into chapter 3?
Absolutely.
You want to do, okay. All right, I'll take the first. Well, my paragraph Bible has the first 11 verses, and then verses 12 through 16, and then 17 through 22. So let's break it up as they have it here, and just feel free to comment as I read.
In the 30... I'm going to go hardcore racist tonight. I just want everyone to know.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'm not pussyfooting around anymore, man. You know, when I see the BS that's going on right now, forget about it. The gloves are off.
It's getting bad. It's getting really bad. Yeah. All right.
It's crazy out there right now.
In the 30th year after the ruin of the city, I was in Babylon. And
we're on the air, right?
Yes, we're on the air.
I didn't hear the fancy music or anything. We're on?
Yeah,
we're a little late.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
Yep, we are on loud and clear. I just turned the volume up. It's all right.
Very good. Very good.
So we're going to start in chapter 3. Who's going to read what?
Well, I'll read the first 11 verses. Okay. That's not by choice, right? I know 11 is a popular number these days. But that's the way this book is arranged, my paragraph Bible of the King James.
Okay.
In the 30th year after the ruin of the city, which is obviously Jerusalem, I was in Babylon. And lay troubled upon my bed, and my thoughts came up over my heart, for I saw the desolation of Zion, and the wealth of them that dwelt at Babylon. And my spirit was sore moved, so that I began to speak words full of fear to the Most High, and said, O Yahweh, who bearest rule, thou spokest at the beginning when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people, and gavest the body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thy hands, and didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was
Amen.
Made living before thee. And here, let me just comment, because when Yahweh breathed the breath of life into Adam...
Yes, we got to talk about that a minute,
yeah,
brother.
That was the beginning of what dominionism is the term I like to use, and white separatist dominionism as detailed in Scripture, that those who show blood in the face were given dominion, and that's in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, I believe. And that's where it was all established, okay? So,
well, that is the difference between our race and every other race on the planet. We have the breath of life, the breath of Yahweh breathed into us. The rest of the other races out there, you know, yeah, Yahweh created them apart from the Jews. The Jews are an aberration that should not be here. But Yahweh has allowed them to be here to test us, to punish us, to domineer us, because we are the most rebellious divine race that's ever been created. We are pathetic in a lot of ways.
Sure.
That's a whole nother show.
Well, we can't be supremacists if we're pathetic. Right?
But in spite of our weakness and sinfulness and carnality, We have the breath of life in our people. We are the divine race on the planet. Praise Yahweh for that.
Okay, well,
every time I read the divine breath breathed into us, I want to break down and weep.
Yes.
What a privilege to have that.
Yeah, well, there's a fine parallelism here because he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and we are figuratively Jerusalem today, and are we not in the midst of being destroyed by the perfidious Jew?
Brother, the world is arrayed against us.
Yes.
Let me read verse 5 in my translation.
Okay.
And it gave thee, Adam, a lifeless body, yet he was the workmanship of thy hands, and thou didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made alive in thy presence. This is the origination of our people. We are the race of Adam, those that can blush, those that show blood in the face. Mm-hmm. This is the race of Yahweh's children on the planet. That's why the world hates us right now.
Right.
They're tearing down our statues, destroying our history. Even when we meet in some kind of patriotic way, apart from any condemnation of the Jews, we must be destroyed. The whole array of services must be arrayed against us. We must not be allowed to meet, to unite in any way whatsoever. I hope people are seeing what's going on right now. It's incredible the hatred being poured out toward our people.
Oh, that's for
sure. This is why, Brother Eli, Brother Steve, myself, are not pastors of a church of 2,000 or 3,000, you know, white people, white families in the various places we live. Because we are not allowed by the satanic race on this planet to do what we were meant to do. To lead our people into the love and worship of Yahweh.
Well, we're pastors to the remnant.
Yeah.
Well said, brother. If there was not such an enemy arrayed against us, thousands would follow what we have to say. But, here in Jew York, where somehow Yahweh has planted me because I must learn every lesson of my life in the hardest way possible, I'm buried here around Jewry. If I ran the most simple ad, the advertisement, I would like to start a... By the way, I have a degree in being a pastor. Not that that means anything. It actually is a detriment to me. But on paper, I could be qualified to be a Christian pastor. And if I ran any kind of an ad saying, hey, I'm going to start up a church. You know, it's whites only. I need some verification of your Northern European ancestry. I don't need to check your DNA, but I need you to look me in the eye and tell me you're white and you married a white woman, you have white kids. That's what I want in my church, my ecclesia. Do you realize what would happen to me? I'd probably be in jail in the current environment.
Well, Greg, you remember what happened to us in Binghamton, New York.
I do, brother.
Okay,
yeah,
when we tried to have a whites-only meeting, you know, the ARA, Anti-Racist Action,
Early version of the Antifa.
Right.
For three or four of us, there was 20 or 30 of them. The ratio still exists.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And they tried to attack us. And fortunately, Yahweh's protecting hand was with us because they attacked the wrong group.
I don't know how we got off there. I thought we were going to get our asses kicked.
Right.
They were ready to kick some. They were ready to kick some white ass.
They were chanting and marching, and because we met at the the Veterans Lodge, and they were coming after us and cursing us and everything else. And so I said, okay, there's going to be trouble. Let's get out the back door here.
I still remember how the Veterans Lodge completely dishonored your service in Vietnam and said, "Well, we have calls. We're going to have to cancel your meeting because you're some kind of a racist group. It doesn't matter that you are a veteran that served in Vietnam, there, Mr.
Right.
James.
Yes.
We have a phone call that you're a racist group.
Yeah,
we got the message.
Yeah, the ADL.
Yeah, you have to meet on private property that somebody owns.
Yep,
that's one of us.
So why
cannot have it just open to the public?
Yeah." White people cannot
freely gather. A public piece of property that they have to let everybody in. Just can't do that. Yeah.
But blacks can have a blacks-only meeting. Mexicans can have Mexicans-only. Jews can have Jews-only meetings. Okay? The only people who can't have meetings of their own kind are white people. Why? Because the Jews have made it illegal.
Because we're a hate group when we meet as a race.
No. We're not a hate group. Because the Jews have made it illegal. That's why. And that's the only reason
we're
why.
We're haters. Okay. Yes.
So, but this is going to change real soon, because when Yahshua returns, all of these liars and we don't commit violent acts when we get together, when white people get together. We don't commit violent acts, okay? But
brothers,
they do.
You know, we are capable of crazy violence, yet it's the last thing that we want to do.
That's right. It's the last thing we want to do.
You know, we're the greatest warriors that the planet has ever seen, but deep down, we're the most peaceful race that's ever existed here.
Yes.
The dichotomies continue on and on. Brothers, let me jump in at verse 5.
Okay, well, pick it up, Steve and Eli.
I want commentary on every verse. Just jump in, because these are the richest verses, some of the richest verses in all of Scripture. And I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. We might not get very far. These verses are so filled with wealth for our people. Let me jump in here. So verse 5, we're talking about Adam having the breath of life breathed into him. And it gave thee, Adam, a lifeless body, yet he was the workmanship of thy hands. And thou didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made alive in thy presence. And thou didst lead him into the garden, which thy right hand had planted before the earth appeared. And thou didst lay upon him one commandment of thine, but he transgressed it. And immediately thou didst appoint death for him and his descendants. From him there sprang nations and tribes, peoples and clans without number. Clearly,
the word it uses, clans,
and talk about this.
Here it says kindreds. Okay.
So Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, my 4-year Bible degree taught me that all the races of the planet, that Jesus Christ came and died for every 2-legged walking creature on the planet. All the races somehow magically sprang from the loins of Adam. How would we discuss the insanity of that type of insane satanic theology?
Well,
Steve, jump in, brother.
He's correct on the clans, because they translate that word kindreds without number.
Okay.
Kindreds, they translate in the King James a lot of times as families, but if you look it up, it actually means clans.
Okay.
And then there are families within that clan.
Right.
I'm guessing a clan is basically a strain within the white race.
Okay.
That's a Scottish word that they put in on the English, but its meaning is accurate in the Hebrew. I've done a study on that, and that is correct. And
so
there are families that are subgroup of the clan.
Right. Okay. So a family that gets together, and they have family outings, barbecues, and as we were talking about in the previous show, they would put on white sheets and ride around horses scaring Negroes, right? But here, Pastor Steve... Go ahead, Greg.
Eli, I got a question for you, and I want to spend some time right here. You know, it's interesting. Ezra kind of mentions a particular situation, and he kind of flashes over it. It's discussed in exquisite detail elsewhere. But he says here, "And thou didst lay upon him," meaning Adam, "you did lay upon Adam, Yahweh, one commandment, but he transgressed it. And immediately thou dost appoint death for him and his descendants." Let's talk about for a minute this transgression, this commandment that was given to Adam, and this transgression. Because to me, this is one of the foundational beliefs of Christian identity. I spent 4 years at a Bible college and never was taught 20 seconds of what actually went on in the Garden of Eden and why the world is so screwed up, and why did death come upon all men. I basically was taught that an apple fell from the tree and Adam ate the apple.
Right. Well, first of all,
I think we know that that's not what happened here.
Right. First of all, the Bible doesn't say anything about apples. It talks about fruit, and the word fruit in the Hebrew can mean vegetables, fruits, or it could mean human beings. Okay.
Well, what was the commandment given to Adam?
Right. Well,
what was the commandment?
To not touch.
He had one commandment, and he disobeyed it. Right. So
you
what was
shall
the one
not
commandment?
Touch or eat from
right.
the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge
good
of good
evil.
And evil.
The knowledge
and the
of
words,
good and evil.
Okay.
The word touch and eat both have sexual connotations
right.
to them.
And also,
people don't hear that from these pastors because they don't tell them.
Right.
Well, I don't know that they know. The pastors of today in Judeo-Christianity are either genius crypto-Jews infiltrated or they're just ignorant people that went to some college for a while, basically me. How I'm here, I don't even know. Yahweh's so merciful. But, Eli, I think it was in the Book of Jubilees that we went through where we saw that the knowledge of good and evil was essentially likened directly to the fallen angels.
Right, yeah.
Where Adam was told, at this point, the fall had taken place. The angels had come to earth. Sexual union between angels and white women had taken place. There was a fall in the universe. Adam was commanded, you are to have nothing to do with this tree meaning race.
Right. Right.
Tree meaning a family of fallen angels, the knowledge of good. Because let's face it, the angels clearly had knowledge of good. They were angelic beings.
Right.
They were heavenly, eternal life beings. They had knowledge of good. But they also had knowledge of evil because they had left the domain of heaven. They had looked upon white women. And, sometimes we got to do a show on women one of these days. But the point is this. White women, when they want to be seductive, they were able to seduce angelic beings out of the heavens.
Well, I don't think they did that deliberately.
To have sex with them. Yeah. This is the power of these creatures.
Right. I don't think they did that deliberately.
They weren't looking at large bottom negresses or, Asian women. They were looking
right?
at the daughters of
Adam. Because those
races
were already here. All these races were already here. And maybe Steve can elaborate on that. I just want to say, in the second part of the answer, first of all, there's no apples. The Bible doesn't say anything about apples. It talks about
I don't know.
Fruit.
That had to have come. Who knows
Somebody
where
invented
that. I have no idea where that came
Some
from.
Some Judeo-Christian invented that
we're
nonsense.
We're talking about angels came to earth to have sex with women. That had taken place. Who knows? Right. All the sexual shenanigans going on. Adam was commanded, you will have nothing to do with these various races sexually doing their thing around the planet. You will not eat of that tree. We're talking symbolic language here.
Well, but there's no vegetable or plant tree that has any knowledge of good or evil. That just doesn't exist.
They
try to literalize this.
Right.
And it is metaphorical.
Right.
Absolutely.
The trees are a figurative for a race.
Right.
Yes, brother.
And it said you will not touch that tree, singular.
Yeah.
That race that is in the midst of the garden. Those are the race of the fallen beings. Yeah. Well, the first seduction of an Adamite woman was Hawa, that's Eve.
Yes.
By whatever angel name that Nakash. And later on, a whole bunch of them saw that worked, so they piled on and they were
getting raped
by physically taking the daughters of Adam.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's backed up in the Book of Enoch. His name is Azazel. He was the leader of the fallen angels. And that book clearly names the Nakash as being named Gadrel. Okay?
Yep,
gives the
Gadriel
name.
Was the one that seduced Eve.
He seduced Eve. It says it very plainly. And the Book of Jasher confirms regarding Genesis chapter 6 that these fallen ones taught the children of men, the children of Adam, to engage in mixing species, i.e. race mixing. Okay? So if it happens in chapter 6...
And making weapons of war.
Right.
Taught them war.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Taught them war. Taught them writing. Taught them various knowledges that they were not meant to have. And we've been screwed ever since.
Right.
I mean, you want to know why the world's a disaster? I don't blame Adam. I blame the seduction of fallen angels. That's why the lake of fire was created for these creatures. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why
they're revealing knowledge to us still.
Yes, I agree.
Because the so-called progress is very destructive to our people, the genetically modified foods.
Absolutely, brother.
That's
what they
were doing in the days of Noah.
I agree.
That caused the flood, and our technology.
We make more
neato nifty things to kill each other with. That's technology.
Sometimes I think computers were never meant to be. Sometimes I wonder if computers were ever. If computers are fallen angel knowledge, I'm not saying they are.
Well,
it just crosses my mind.
You can either use a computer for good or you can use it for evil.
I got a bunch of them. I got to have them. But sometimes I look at these things and go, is this fallen angel technology? I don't know.
Right.
Only when you can't connect to the talk show.
Right.
Yeah, like tonight, I'm trying to call into Skype to hook up with the brothers. I'm like, fallen angels are after me.
Well, I think it's just white ingenuity. It's usually the white guy that invents something and the Jews pervert it. That's how it usually works, right? But the stress laid in all of our literature, all of our Old Testament literature, and then we have to add the Targums that succeeded the stay in Babylon, where they plainly say that Eve was seduced by a fallen angel. They say it outright. And in apocryphal and pseudepigraphical literature as well, where it's stated very plainly, where Joseph says, this is when Mary gets pregnant. He says, what has happened to me? Like Adam and Eve, Eve was seduced by some spirit. And then he finds out, it was the Holy Spirit this time, right?
Brothers, let me jump in here.
Yes.
I like how Ezra completely leaves the seduction of Eve out of the equation here. He places the blame of our situation squarely upon Adam.
Right.
He doesn't even mention Eve here. Mm-hmm. You did lay upon him one commandment, and he transgressed it. And immediately thou didst appoint death for him and for his descendants. For from him there sprang nations, tribes, peoples, and clans without number. No mention of the sin of Eve, the seduction of Eve by the fallen angel. The sin is placed clearly here upon the man, upon Adam.
Adam was to be the leader. And he was to lead. He did not. He was led.
Yeah.
And so it was not Eve. It was not Eve that drew our race into the sin of death.
Adam could have said no.
Absolutely. Steve, let me ask you. This is just an opinion, because the sin of Adam is never mentioned anywhere specifically as to what happened. What do you think he did? I have my own opinion. I'll tell you after you tell me.
She showed him all about sex and said, I did this with that beautiful creature there, and there was others.
Yeah. Yep.
I wasn't alone. And Adam saw one of these little.
They were probably picking out from
behind. I'm thinking Asian or Brazilian or maybe a
harpy hunter. Well, whatever.
Maybe a Halle Berry, a cute
negress. The original sin.
Yeah.
Was race mixing, not just the sex act, but who it occurred between.
Right, sure.
It was a sexual sin with a female, probably. I'm going to give Adam the benefit of the doubt that he didn't go to the other side. It was probably a sexual sin with a female of another race.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lilith comes into question.
Yeah, she's in the Talmud. I don't know if she's in any other literature.
I know, Lilith are mentioned. The Lilith are the females that race mixed with fallen angels and were cursed, if I'm not mistaken, Steve. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And they also call them screech owls.
Yeah, and they were cursed. They were probably amazingly physically beautiful. Adam's sin was clearly sexual in nature.
Right. Well, the Lilith is also classed as a night demon.
Okay. Yeah, so we get
curse of good education,
right? Yeah, and so these demonic entities that can take physical shape and seduce people, I forget what they're called. There's male and female versions of them in the literature. But clearly these trees that we're talking about are not physical plants, these trees.
No.
Because the word tree and other language in Scripture often, in fact, just as often refers to two-legged animals, usually almost always later on in Scripture, of the families of Israelites, okay?
Like, well, they were not real trees because
no.
Adam would not have sex with a tree.
Well, right, of course not. Right. But
he did
eat an apple.
He had
right?
his scruples.
Yeah, right. So, you know, the point being, the word tree often refers to two-legged animals.
Material.
Okay.
You know, we can barely get past verse 7 here, and we haven't even barely got into the last part of verse 7.
Give it a try.
From him there sprang nations and tribes, peoples and clans without number. Mm-hmm. Now, as a former Judeo-Christian pastor, if you asked me 30 years ago, Greg, interpret what that is. Oh, well, you know, that was the spread of humanity across the world through Adam, all the races, somehow magically they're different colors and slant eyes. And, you know, and realizing now what I see, this is obviously the spread of the white race across the planet. From Adam sprang the spread, and we are his progeny today. You know,
well, that's why it traces the lineage of Yeshua Messiah all the way back to the Adam.
Absolutely, brother. I love, you know, I used to hate the genealogies in the Bible and wonder why are these boring things in here?
Now,
I read them, I go over every name and I go, brother, this is this guy's resume. He's saying, yo, I'm a white man.
Yeah.
And I'll trace it all the way back.
They tend to come up in later verses.
Sure.
Oh, this is the guy back in chapter so-and-so.
Right.
And here's the name of his kid that was
and
back
we're direct
in that
descendants.
Chapter. Oh, then that's who these guys are.
Right.
Now, the light bulb comes on.
An interesting
that's
point
right.
about our people is that just as our people in the Old Testament kept genealogies of their ancestors, there's only one race on the planet that still has this tradition. Okay. White people.
The family Bible with all the inscriptions in it.
Brother, let me disagree right there just a little bit. I'm convinced that the true satanic Jewish bloodline on the earth can probably trace their bloodlines back to Cain.
Certain families.
Because
certain
they
families,
have known who they are from the beginning. They were not like us, who had our identity forgotten for a while because of our sin.
There is a question from Seven of None in the chat room.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it.
Pastors, what were the trees in the garden that they could freely eat the fruit of? Well, that word is another Hebrew word with dual meanings. Mm-hmm. It does not always mean races. Sometimes it means fruit trees.
Right.
You just have to have the discernment to figure out which, because that's what they ate. Well, mm-hmm. no, why am I thus? Those were not family trees. There was no other families because it gives the genealogy of the Adam and Chawa that they call Eve, and they only had a limited amount of time, and then they were cast out of the garden. The other non-wooden trees were races, mm-hmm. and they were to have no contact with them. So there is a difference there.
Yes. Well, where it says that trees for food, okay? Where it says
trees for food.
But the tree
correct.
Of the knowledge of good and evil is set apart from that because that's not food, at least not literal food. Now, knowledge.
No, it is
not.
That,
knowledge
that
is something
is
completely
the differentiator
different.
Right there.
Right. So, yeah, you got to pay real close attention to the context. And there are instances in Scripture where a single word can be used in different contexts. It can be used literally and figuratively in the same sentence.
Correct.
Okay. So that happens quite often in Scripture, but this is like the most important instance of that. Okay. So, Pastor Greg, why don't you continue with...
Brothers, we're into some very deep material here. And by the way, the fact that this book was left out of the quote-unquote Bible
right?
is so understandable to me, because this, we're into the hidden knowledge here. This is knowledge meant for the elect people, the enlightened ones at the end of the age. We haven't even scratched the surface of this book yet, and we are into some heavy-duty sirloin steak
right.
scripture right here. This is, you know, we're on page five, and in my translation, this goes up to page 35. We haven't even scratched this thing,
right.
and this is just amazing stuff. He continues, and every nation walked after its own will, and did ungodly things before thee, and scorned thee, and thou didst not hinder them. Just like today.
Just
basically.
Like today, right?
Is this not continuing to this day?
Yep.
Where our people are walking after their own will, our people are doing ungodly things.
Do as thou wilt, that is the whole of the law.
Our people have scorned Yahweh, and Yahweh is just letting them do whatever they want to do.
Giving them enough rope to hang themselves.
That's right.
This is a choosing ground. Mm-hmm. Choose whom you will serve. And eventually, the patience is going to run out.
And back then it did. He brought in an early judgment, verse 9. But again, in his time, thou dost bring in the flood upon the inhabitants of the world and destroy them. But thou didst leave one of them. We're going to have to talk about this. Noah with his household and all the righteous who have descended from him.
You missed a verse.
Oh, yeah, I think and it came
oh, wait,
to
yeah,
pass.
Yeah. Verse 10. I'm sorry. Okay, let me verse 9. But again, in its time, thou didst bring the flood upon the inhabitants of the world and destroy them. And the same fate befell them as death upon Adam, so the flood upon them. But thou didst leave one of them, Noah with his household, and all the righteous who have descended from him.
Okay, we're into
race here. This is race.
Oh, yeah.
And Enoch, remember, Eli, when we went through Enoch, and maybe next week we're going to want to do a review on this chapter, and I will have my Enoch in front of me, and we'll get into Enoch's treatment of Noah and how important Noah. Noah was one of the most important people that's ever lived on this planet, because Noah was the one survivor at that time. That was the continuation of our people.
Right.
Noah and his three sons was the one survivor to continue our race. That's how important Noah was. We almost disappeared. That's how bad it got.
Right. 8 souls. It was down to 8 souls.
Noah was righteous. Yahweh saved him, his three sons, and they were kind of a disaster. And yet, here we are. We are descendants of Noah. Not just Adam. We are descendants of Noah.
Yes.
All of us.
Yep.
We have much to be thankful for
and,
Noah's
and
righteousness.
We are, and his son Shem.
Yep.
We are the Shemites, and the Jews are not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Steve, why don't you pick it up at verse 12?
Go ahead, brother. Go, jump in.
Steve, why don't you pick it up at verse 12?
Okay. And it happened that when they dwelt upon the land, began to multiply, and have gotten them many children, and were a great people, and they began again to be more ungodly than the first.
That's pretty much our history.
Right.
We just can't keep our feet out of the muck.
Right.
That's it.
Verse 13, now when they lived so wickedly before you, you did choose you a man from among them whose name was Abraham.
Amen. Praise Yahweh for Abraham.
Verse 14, him you loved. I'm not reading the lovest and all of that.
Right.
I'm
going to
speak English. And unto him only you showed your will. Verse 15, and made an everlasting covenant with him. What? Everlasting covenant.
It didn't end when Jesus died on the cross.
That's means it's still going on. Ooh. These people say it's all nailed to the cross.
We're not in the New Testament age.
We're that because there is no difference in the testaments. They're all one testament.
The African Negroes promising, that aren't part of this? Okay.
Promising him that you would never forsake his seed line. They translate that seed, but that should be seed line.
Line of descent.
Seed line of Abraham, the father of nations, father of the people. And unto him you gave Yitzchak, and that's Isaac. And unto Yitzchak thou gave Jacob and Esau, that's Jacob and Esau. As for Jacob, you did choose him to thee. Yahweh did the choosing right there and put by Esau.
Hmm.
And so Jacob became a great multitude. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when you led his seed line out from Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, you brought them up to the Mount Sinai. Verse 18, and bowing the heavens, you did set fast the earth, moved the entire world, and made the depths to tremble, and troubled the men of that age.
Praise Yahweh for verse 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your glory went through, and your glory went through four gates of fire and of earthquake and of wind and of cold, that you might give the law unto the seed of Jacob.
Amen.
All right.
Anybody else in that sentence right there? Nope, you see anything else about anybody else?
And the
black
Bible
tribes
says,
in Uganda and Kenya that we need to save? I'm not seeing it.
The law was given exclusively to Jacob and to no other people.
Wait, Israel, because his name was changed to Israel. You shall overcome as El, because he wrestled with a divine being. And that's where the name came from. And we are known in the book of Revelations as the Overcomers.
Okay, so this is very exclusive, confirming what we already know
from
the Bible.
Brothers, this is the epitome. This is the foundation of our very faith right here that we're looking at.
Let me finish this.
This is seed-line Christian identity right here.
Diligence unto the generation of Israel. Only.
Yes.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. On verse 16, Greg, what's your translation where it says, and put by Esau? That's a poorly phrased expression.
Yeah,
there.
I want to read my translation.
That's an antique saying.
Yeah.
It means
put away.
To set aside. It's another way of saying set aside.
Right.
Yeah, let me read my verse 16. And thou didst set us apart, Jacob, for thyself. But Esau thou didst reject, and Jacob became a great multitude.
Yeah.
And when thou didst lead his descendants out of Egypt, thou didst bring them to Mount Sinai. And verse 18, thou didst bend down the heavens and shake the earth and move the world, and make the depths to tremble and trouble the times. By the way, this is when the law came to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And thy glory passed through the four gates of fire and earthquake and wind and ice to give the law to the descendants of Jacob and thy commandments to the posterity of Israel.
Oh, I like that word, posterity.
These are some of the greatest verses to me in all of Scripture.
That's a good translation. I like that.
I love this. This is the Revised Standard Version of 2 Ezra, and I've looked at a lot of various this one is amazing to me. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And I got a few cross-references that I'd like us to look up here from the book of Exodus that discuss what actually went on when the law was given to our people. and how monumental of an event that was. Can I give you brothers? You brothers got a Bible in front of you?
Yeah, several.
Several. Why does that surprise me? All right, Steve, listen, if you would take Exodus 19, chapter 19, verses 16 through 18.
Well, let me grab my translation, and I'll give you the straight scoop right out of the Hebrew.
Okay.
That's Exodus 19.
Yeah, 16 through 18. In fact, why don't we, let's go through you, and we'll just kind of work on it from there. Let's start there. Exodus 19.
Okay, let me get into
16 through 18.
I've got one more page to turn.
Okay.
Exodus 19. And it came to.
The first time I went through this, and I was doing a lot of cross-referencing with these various events, the bending of the heavens, the shaking of the earth. So, yeah, Exodus 19, 16 through 18.
Okay. And it came to be on the day third in the morning that there were thunders, that's 6, 9, 6, 3, as a voice, and lightnings, 1300, and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And the sound, 6, 9, 6, 3, of the shofar, that's a ram's horn trumpet, exceedingly strong, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. Verse 17, brought forth Moshe the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim, that's the divine being, referring to Yahweh, and they stood at the back part of the mountain. Pardon me. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, 6225, because the presence of Yahweh descended, that's 3381, upon it in fire, 784. Strong's numbers. And the smoke of it ascended as the smoke of a furnace, 3536, and the whole mountain quaked, 2729, greatly. And you wanted me to go to 19?
Yep.
Okay, verse 19, and when sounded long, the sound of the shofar, and grew exceedingly strong, spoke Moshe and answered him, Elohim, by a voice. That's 19.
So Yahweh right. spoke directly to him. Yes.
Yes.
So we're basically seeing the shaking of the earth and the heavens when the law was given to our people. Even though we know it was nailed to the cross when Jesus died, right?
As, no, the Bible doesn't the say the law was nailed to the cross.
Erroneously and stupidly teach.
Yes.
We were seeing the eternal law given to our people here and the monumental shaking of the earth and the heavens. The heavens were bent down and the earth was shaken. The world was moved when we received the law. Mm-hmm. If we can jump ahead to Exodus chapter 20. Verses 18 and 19.
20, 18, and 19.
Steve, I have your generously given Torah open in front of me.
Okay.
Thank you for the sending me that, by the way, brother. Praise Yahweh.
My pleasure. You want me to read it or do you want to read it?
If you would. Exodus 20, 18, and 19. I'm turning to it. Yeah, you read
and
it.
And stood the people far off and drew near Moshe to the thick darkness, that's 6205, where was the Elohim, that's where the divine being was. And said Yahweh to Moshe, you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I talked with you from the sky. Verse 20. You shall not make beside me Elohe, those are divine beings, of silver, neither shall you make to you Elohe of gold. Verse 21, an altar of soil shall you make to me, and shall slaughter on it your burnt offerings and your offerings of well-being, your sheep and your oxen, in all places where I cause to be remembered my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, Because if you lift up your tool and iron is implied upon it, you have profaned it. In other words, he wanted stones that he had made, not that man made. Neither shall you go up by steps to my altar, so your nakedness will not be seen on it. And that ends that chapter.
Yeah, and I have one more here, and I'll read it from your translation, Steve. Exodus 24, verse 17. And the appearance of the glory of Yahweh was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So this is what went on when the law was given to our people, yeah, our descendants. Of course, we've been taught from childhood that these were Jews, Moses, all these people, they were all Jews. We realize now this was our race. Mm-hmm. These were not Jews. There wasn't a drop
of
Jew.
How could they be Jews when Yehuda had never been born yet?
Yeah, not a chance. They were. It's one of the greatest scams of all time.
Okay.
You know, the second greatest might be the Federal Reserve or Jesus was a Jew. You could argue it back and forth. But I mean, these were white people back then. They were Aryans.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
This is our race.
By the way, that means noble. Mm-hmm. Does right, not necessarily word. Mean white. It means noble people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the word Aryan.
That's what Aryan yes. means. And they have all the Aryan Brotherhood. I didn't see anything noble about those people.
Right. Well, it's
sorry,
funny.
Sorry.
Because verse 20 continues that thought. He goes, yet thou didst not take away from them their evil heart, so that thy law might bring forth fruit in them. Is that not the point of the law?
Mm-hmm.
To bring forth fruit in Yahweh's rebellious people?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you figure out a better way to say it? What the
point
of the law is?
Yeah, I come not for the righteous, but for sinners. That's Yeshua speaking. Who did he come for? Came for us.
Yeah.
And for none are righteous. No, not one. For all have sought sin and fall short of the glory of Yahweh.
You know, I'm convinced in these 10 verses is more knowledge than what I learned in 4 years of Bible college. I'm certain of it.
You get right. No argument from me, brother.
I'm telling you. I mean, look at the theology as it continues in verse 21. For the first Adam, burdened with an evil heart, transgressed and was overcome, as were also all who were descended from him. How many shows could we do on that one verse, the fall of our race and the various aspects involved?
We could read all the names. We could read all the names.
We could do a dozen shows,
right?
And barely scratch the surface of the fall of our people.
Yeah. By the way, that's what I did in my book, The Great Impersonation. I traced the entire line of descent from Adam to our people in the modern era, okay? And showing that the Jews have a different line of descent, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right? And that's a
I mean, I think of the stupidity that we were taught as kids, where an apple, Adam and Eve were said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. If an apple falls, don't you eat that nice, shiny red apple, you naughty Adam and Eve. Oh, right. You disobeyed me. Now you have fallen into sin.
Yeah. No, I 6,000 years of hell for eating
an apple. The insanity of that stupid, ridiculous interpretation makes me crazy.
They have made a childish story out of it.
It's insane.
For childish people.
To create
unbelievable.
People.
Yes. People
I'm sorry, but that's how it is. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. He continues in verse 22. Thus the disease became permanent. The law was in people's heart along with the evil root. Mm-hmm. But what was good departed and the evil remained. So the times passed and the years were completed. And thou didst raise up for thyself a servant named David. This is the line of descent of our people.
There we go.
Here we get into he's
hitting the high spots is what right. he's doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well said, brother. Yeah. He's calling out the superstars, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Adam was a superstar, even though he fell.
Right.
Because from him we all sprang.
Yeah.
Abraham was an absolute superstar because racially he continued our race, and he had a covenant with Yahweh. Then the next star named is David. Did David have weaknesses?
Oh yeah.
He had a weakness for white women, like we all do.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, what's up with that? You know, look at Bathsheba down there taking a shower. Yeah, let's make sure her husband is up at the front of the line there. Yeah. Well, let's make sure he ain't coming back tonight, because I kind of got my eye on his woman.
Right.
That was the heart of David in a moment of lust.
Right.
And he's the same as any of us.
It cost the life of that firstborn child.
Yes, it did. And Solomon had his own issues, without a doubt.
He didn't just like white women. He loved all of them.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think he talks about Solomon here.
That's what brought him down and had the kingdom ripped away from him.
That's right. All right.
How deep are these verses, brothers? Are these not amazing, incredible scripture verses we're looking at?
Well, they tie to so many other parts of scripture, Greg. That just doesn't touch on one point. It's just all of this stuff has references throughout the entire scriptures, old and new.
I think these verses and hundreds of others just solidify two seed line Christian identity as the true Christian faith, and just shines the light on all the other aspects of false Christianity. Christian identity is the true Christianity on the planet. That's why it's hated.
That's right.
That's why we're not allowed to be.
Exactly. If they hate
why they
you,
hate us.
Because they hate you, they hate me.
All right.
That's it. They hate us because we have the truth.
Well, this chapter, chapter 3, is kind of like a Reader's Digest of Old Testament from Adam down to Jeremiah, right?
It's a synopsis.
Right,
That's
it's a synopsis.
It
and so... this just proves that it's Israelite literature. I mean, what non-Israelite, would be even interested in this stuff, right?
Well, what he's doing here with all this genealogy is laying a foundation for a premise that comes.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get to the end of this chapter. There's a few, like 10 more verses. Let me go ahead a little bit, see if we can finish this chapter. So he says, so the times passed and the years were completed, and thou didst raise up for thyself a servant named David, and thou didst command him to build a city for thy name, and in it to offer thee oblations from what is thine. This was done for many years, but the inhabitants of the city transgressed in everything, doing as Adam and all his descendants had done, for they also had the evil heart. So thou dost deliver the city into the hands of thy enemies. Then I said in my heart, are the deeds of those who inhabit Babylon any better? Is that why she has gained dominion over Zion? Okay. Brothers, do we not find ourselves in this exact moment?
That's right.
Right now?
Yeah, Babylon is not a place right now. It's a system.
That's right.
We are exactly in this moment that Ezra, back about 400 to 500 BC, was describing. We are in the exact same moment. Our people continue to repeat the same sin of rejecting Yahweh over and over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. I'm gonna start in my word for word on Lamentations for Monday, from the weeping prophet Yirmiyahu, and boy, that's gonna be a cry and towel event. And I struggled through the Song of Solomon with all the hidden words, and the word translations on that are a beast. And somebody suggested I get the Amplified Bible, because they shift back and forth in gender with who's speaking. A man speaking, then boom, all of a sudden it's a woman speaking, and they don't give you a break.
Yeah,
but he said that Amplified Bible has a he said, she said in it.
So
I think
I'll
get a copy of that, because anything that makes anything clearer is a benefit. Yeah. Even if it's not 100% accurate, you can cross-check with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Study to show yourself approved.
Right.
And
I don't like
what
that.
We
he
have
said,
is
he
all,
said, she
all
said
these
stuff.
Years of knowledge on this show that people don't have the time to go get this knowledge now because they're just trying to survive. So that's why Yahweh has called us into the service. That's what we're all about.
Over to Amen, you. Brother. Hey, let me continue here, verse 29. For when I came here, I saw ungodly deeds without number. And my soul has seen many sinners during these 30 years, and my heart failed me. For I have seen how thou dost endure those who sin, and hast spared those who act wickedly, and hast destroyed thy people, and hast preserved thy enemies, and hast not shown to anyone how thy way may be comprehended. Are the deeds of Babylon better than those of Zion? Or has another nation known thee besides Israel?
No.
Or what tribes have so believed thy covenants as these tribes of Jacob?
Yeah, of course not. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very, very specific language here.
Yes.
As it should be. Yet their reward has not appeared, and their labor has borne no fruit. For I have traveled widely among the nations, and have seen that they abound in wealth, though they are unmindful of thy commandments. Now, therefore, weigh in a balance our iniquities and those of the inhabitants of the world, and so it will be found which way the turn of the scale will incline. When have the inhabitants of the earth not sinned in thy sight? Or what nation has kept thy commandments so well? Thou mayest indeed find individual men who have kept thy commandments, but nations thou wilt not find.
Right. All right. It happened one time, the American Revolution, when our people repented of their sins and he gave us a nation in 1776. It can happen again.
Well, this whole thing of all the temptations and the trials and tribulations on the good people is the effort of the Satan, Ha-Satan, to break our faith, as right. he tried to do with Job.
That's right.
With Job. And Job didn't break his faith. Now, he got a little arrogant and got a little self-righteous, but he was chastised for that and repented immediately before Yahweh. And Yahweh blessed him and restored all he had. Well, the devil is not messing with the people that are prosperous right now because they're so involved in doing what he once done, he doesn't want to rock their boat. They're going down the road to hell, He is just happy as he can be. So he's not going to mess with them. He wants to mess with the people that are not following his way but Yahweh's way. And that's what's going on. Then attempt again to break our faith through tribulation. Right. Over to you.
Brothers, before we close, I just want to say what a privilege it is to be with you two brothers going through this spectacular hidden book of end time prophecy. I believe prophecy hidden for the elect on the earth at the end of the age. And these books say as much. These books were hidden for the final group of people on the earth before the Messiah returns to the earth to set up his eternal kingdom. And it's a privilege to go through this. We're getting into some amazing truth that's hidden from 99.9% of our people right now, which is a shame, but it is what it is. And praise Yahweh for the handful that are open to hear what we have to say, that we still have a voice to say it. The Jews haven't shut us down yet. They may well do it. I don't know. I know, Eli, you saw Eurofolk Radio was on the
We're still
on the list, on the hit list.
Yeah, it was on the hit list, right? But we're still up.
I congratulate you, brother, for being on the hit list. That means you're doing something right.
Right.
Time to go. Shalom aleichem, my brother.
All right, folks. See you next week.
Praise Yahweh.
Bye-bye.